Sound like some Viking music, don't it?
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Been through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick that again. Cause that's the only way to win. That's the only way to go. Gotta get it out the mud, gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go, let's go.
Shoot, lights out.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Shooting Lights Out here on this Labor Day. Hope you're having a great holiday weekend. Football is back in full effect with college football. You got the U.S. Open going on. And we're still trickling down the way to the WNBA playoffs. Now that we hit the month of September, we are in the building. Yes, I am here. The playmakers in the building on this Labor Day weekend. My co-host is in the building, Mr. Cole Johnson.
Well, hello, playmaker. It is good to join you yet again.
Having some mic issues over there?
Very funny. Good to join you once again.
Hope y'all enjoy Labor Day weekend, as I said earlier. Are you enjoying Labor Day weekend? Actually, I already know the answer to that question, but
would you taking pot shots like that? No, I'm not. But even your derision is not going to tamper with my good day, because the Wings are in last place in the WNBA. I am so excited. I don't give a crap what else is happening in the rest of WNBA. That makes it a successful year.
Notice he said WNBA. He didn't say basketball. He didn't say football. He didn't say nothing. He didn't say WNBA.
Yes, because it would excite me if the Cowboys were in last place in the NBA, in the NFL, the Mavericks were in last place in the NBA, and the Stars were in last place in the NHL, and the Rangers would be in last place in Major League Baseball. But I love the city of Dallas.
I'm not going to dive into that this week. It's Labor Day weekend. Want to get in, do what we got to do, and get up out of here.
No, you're a bold fellow. We could dive into that.
Not today.
Not today. You show right.
Not today. Not today.
So at your convenience, you dive into it, but you don't want to dive into it now. Okay. Well, again, ladies and gentlemen, I love the city of Dallas.
It's after 3:45. I have another shift. It's 30.
And?
I don't have time to get into the funds that I like to have today.
That's a lie. You got time.
I don't.
You got plenty of time.
To him, he says I have plenty of time.
That's right.
He must not know how this works.
Well, you got more than an hour to try to roast me on something that doesn't exist.
Not that I'd be doing that on Wednesday.
Shut up. I do not want to hate you further than I already do. So.
Hey. All I say, because you don't listen to me doesn't mean you have to hate me. I've been trying to help you, but no.
You're trying to help me.
Me helping you is different than you want to be compassionate for me.
That's a lie, and you know it.
Me helping you is actually trying to say, you're being emotional here. I'm going to need you to, bring it in here. But no. But
I am being compassionate to you, playmaker. I mean, the downturn of your liberty, it does concern me. What's wrong about showing compassion about that? And you notice the silence on him.
No, because I'm going to Google here, and we're going to type in the word compassion.
Now this is the playmaker I'm talking about. See, this is the playmaker that you all do not know, Shooting Lights Out fam. You see, he comes across as this ESPN Sports Center anchor type, but he subtly shoots his shots. So I want to bring that out so I can just shoot bullet holes through him. Okay, so you were looking up the word compassion. What does it say, sir?
It's the feeling of deep sympathy and concern for the suffering and misfortune of others, coupled with a strong desire to elevate the suffering. It combined, it's a combination of noticing another's pain, having an emotional response to it, and then acting to help relieve that pain.
Okay, so what part of that definition does not befit me when it comes to your liberty? Because I am concerned for you, and I have given you tips for you to not be so concerned, such as when
I had to do one simple thing to you to combat all that you're trying to say.
That would be?
Because you don't call them the
New York. I knew that's where you were going to go.
See that?
That's where you were going to go.
He talking about he shows compassion. No, he does. He can't even call anybody an actual name.
But no, I do show compassion because, for example, your head coach basically said, we're not concerned about seeding in the playoffs. We only want to get into the playoffs healthy. And who said to you, sir,
I would like to see if she had that same response after a whole week don't went by.
And who said to you, sir, long before she said that statement, your defending champs only care about getting in. They don't care about being a number one or two seed. They think that they can get in any seed, flip on the switch, and retain their title. Who said that, playmaker?
And what was my response to you? They're going to put us in the same position as the Las Vegas Aces a year ago, and it's not going to go well.
But the compassion part, though, sir, is I lay.
You can't be compassionate when you caught on the Brooklyn Liberty.
But that's where they play. They play in Brooklyn.
But you know they're called the New York Liberty.
They're called the New York Liberty by default. But the thing is,
fact that you said default and you didn't like saying that proves my point.
They are called the New York Liberty by default. But I prove to you, sir, that I do have compassion for your suffering for the Liberty. How dare you claim that I don't show compassion for you when it comes to the Brooklyn Liberty?
Oh, and by the way, that's so because he doesn't know this. We are actually live on a Weird Rise Radio right now.
No, I knows this.
So
what's up, T-Wise? Oh, by the way, the next time we do Mentality, we're gonna have a Dave Portnoy and a Jason Whitlock segment.
Thank you, Danny. Donnie
Does Dishes says Brooklyn is in New York City. Yes, it is, but I know people from New York City. I know someone from Queens. I know someone from the Bronx. I know someone from Manhattan. In fact, my aunt lives in Manhattan. And I know someone, of course, we both know someone, my ace, Wise, who lived from Brooklyn. And they are territorial about where they live.
I have never heard Wise called on the Brooklyn Liberty. I have never heard Dre Day called on the Brooklyn Liberty. I haven't heard my friend Ricky called on the Brooklyn Liberty. And all three of them stay in Brooklyn.
That's because they're brainwashed.
When Y is here, he coming for you. That's all I'm going to say. Oh, my sister's here. Hey.
Yolanda.
My sister's here.
I know she was a B-ball fan. Well, it's good to see you, Yolanda.
It's not that. She can't keep up with how many shows I do.
Oh, okay.
That's the problem.
Well, I know she's from the A, so yes, definitely she's repping the dream. It's understandable.
Yeah, I sent the invite to a certain person. He chose Wednesday. Just in case anybody's wondering. He chose Wednesday.
Oh, you're talking about one Mr. Cool McCain. Okay.
Yeah. I gave him an option. You can do it today, you can do Wednesday. He chose Wednesday, and I know why he chose Wednesday, and rightfully so.
Yeah, because we're about to hear him brag about the you. Yeah, I know.
And wish I can. Wednesday's going to be very interesting, but we'll talk more about that later. Now, yeah. We got to get into the news and those around the hardwood, because the fact that this man sat here and this picked the four that he won out the gate, I'm like, well, good gracious, I ain't even set nothing up. I'll take these four.
Yeah. Well, so I figured that would help you out.
So I got a feeling he has something interesting he wants to do with those four. So let's go around the hardwood. As we dive into the news and notes around the game of basketball, NCAA, Venmo partner to combat harassment of college athletes.
That's a lie.
I would have used it for Wednesday show, but I feel like today's a much better show to use it for because Wednesday's going to be very packed as it
is. Yeah, we're going to have too much to talk about Wednesday.
Here we go. The NCAA and online payment service Venmo announced a partnership Tuesday aiming to combat abuse and harassment of college athletes, some of whom have reported receiving unwanted response for money from losing bettors and affiliations for inside information. The NCAA Venmo partnership features a dedicated hotline for athletes to report abuse and harassment, education on account security, and increase monitoring. Venmo security team will monitor social media trends and events during games such as last second missed field goals that have triggered surge in unwanted interaction. I'm gonna stop right there.
Well, what do you expect? I mean, the NCAA, they're greedy. I mean, you shocked with this, Playmaker? I know you're not. I'm not either. Ever since, and we could track this easily back to when the players actually was able to get name, image, and likeness money. Because ever since then, the NCAA has been scrambling to get more of the pie from them and now more of the pie elsewhere, including gambling and now payment companies. And they do it all under the guise of, we care about our athletes. They're amateurs. They're not fully professional yet. And we want to protect them. They're just cubs still. They're adults, but they're young adults. And when they're under our supervision, we want to make sure we take care of them. Oh, shut up.
I also wanted to make this another fight night, but too much going on. Or football for me to make it a fight tonight. Oh my gosh.
But you know that's full of crap from the NCAA. I mean, combating harassment of college athletes. You could have done this long before you partnered with Venmo and you dragged your feet for that. And you're gonna drag your feet further for this.
I'ma say this one line that I got for somebody about a year ago. Matter of fact, about a year ago around the same time, by the way. It makes it very simple. NCAA, you have no balls.
I wonder from whom did you get that phrase, sir?
I can't think of his name right now. but man. But every time NCAA keep throwing out most stuff, that's all I hear in my head.
Well, whoever said it, he was correct.
Jeez.
The NCAA. And you're correct in this case, too.
First of all, how are you going to combat harassment anyway? Is there really an actual way to combat this whole thing? Hey, you can't even combat normal harassment in the damn world of the day. So how are you going to combat harassment from college athletes? I mean, just really think about this.
From the full of crap department.
So, but hey. I guess I can give you A for effort for trying. That's about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Moving
effort
on.
And F for execution.
Fever, Caitlin Clark, ramping up work, focuses on endurance. Well, she better hurry up and ramp it up because it's about to be do or die.
Well, you know that WNBA, they've flown to Indianapolis, and they'd say, the success of the playoffs depend on you, Caitlin. We got to have you in tip-top shape for when the playoffs start.
Caitlin Clark was not in the lineup for the Fever's game on Tuesday night against Seattle and their game against Golden State over the weekend. But she is perhaps not too far from returning. Coach Stephanie White said Tuesday that Clark, last season rookie of the year, participated in a walkthrough on Monday as part of her ramping up process for returning to play. Stephanie White said, quote, she went through it yesterday. I want to see her in practice, live in practice. I want to see her continue to work to not just build endurance, but to be able to handle contact for 94 feet. As it's going to be an in-game and to be able to do that and sustain from an endurance standpoint, close quote. I'll get more into the Indiana Fever in this one later on because, if she ain't back no time soon, it could get very dicey for the Indiana Fever.
So how are they going to work? How are you going to work on the fact that the team actually plays a little better without her?
That's an interesting point to bring up. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we'll get back to this. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love it. Suns and their owner sued by Miami owner seeking record access. What do we got going on in Phoenix?
Oh Lord.
A pair of Phoenix Suns Miami owners were holdovers from the previous regime under former owner Robert Sarver, are suing the team, alleging that current Suns owner Matt Ishbia has refused access to internal records, according to a copy of the lawsuit obtained by ESPN. The lawsuit was filed in Delaware on August 21st, under seal, and a redirect version was made available Wednesday. The attorney who filed it represents Kisco WC Sports 2 and Kent Circuit Investments. I'm not the legal, I'm not enthralled in legal action. That'd be my co-host, so yeah, you go ahead.
All right, let me dig a little further into this. All right, so
I don't want to give myself a headache.
The thing about Mr. Ishbia is he seems to be one of those types of owners that sort of like, it's like Jerry Jones, but without the P.T. Barnum element. Like he wants sports domination, you know, and his thought is, well, he is going to bring success to the Suns by hook or by crook. That seems to be how he rolls. And it's unfortunate because since he's been owner, the team hasn't really done all that great.
Well, can you keep it close past more than 1 year? I'm sorry. That was boring. I'm sorry.
Multiple coaches at that. But yeah, I look at it like this. So you have, normally when you have, and when you look at the product on the court in this case, when you see erratic court play and erratic court sideline politicking or meanderings, you normally see that reflected as well upward. And I think that's what you're seeing here. And the fact that they want to basically block access from people in investigating the team, that is a red flag for sure. It almost strikes me as when the Commanders, where they were called something else in the NFL, when they basically wanted to run
interference.
Yes. The team that is that I affectionately call the Slur. They wanted to run interference with the 600,000 emails which were extended from the president of the team, Paul Allen, and one John Gruden. And when you normally have the stance of there's nothing to see here, there's nothing to see here, it almost makes people want to dig harder. And so now you have this understanding. And the funny thing is, this isn't the first, this is the first type of action that has been thrown against a team in the past year. This is the sixth type of action that has been levied against the organization in 10 months' time. The other five, they were by current and former employees. And some of the allegations include discrimination, retaliation, harassment, and wrongful termination. So we're seeing an atmosphere, a corporate atmosphere of indifference, of negligence, of apathy. And that's not a good sign at all.
Ishbia, get your ish together. Okay, you can't keep it close past 1 year and you talking about you want to take over sports. Get the fuck out of here. Now, let me go to college basketball. Mm-hmm. Rick Barnes signs lifetime contract as Tennessee's coach. Rick Barnes, all right, let's get into this article. Tennessee wants to make sure Rick Barnes stays with the Volunteers as long as he wants to coach the men's basketball team. Athletic director Denny White, not the USC guy, if those of you who might get confused.
And not the former Dallas Cowboys quarterback.
Announced Thursday that Barnes has signed essentially a lifetime contract, saying, quote, Wick has taken our program to unprecedented heights, which is hard to say, by the way. You're talking about the Vols basketball program. And we are absolutely thrilled to have him continue to coach, having to continue coaching on Rocky Top for the rest of his career. He has constructed this program the right way, achieving elite level success on the court while also ensuring that our players excel off the court, close quote. Barnes, who turned 71 in July, signed an extension in September 2023 that took him through the 2027-2028 season. The contract announced Thursday automatically extends Barnes' deals for a year every April 15 starting in 2028. Now, before you continue on this,
go ahead.
Kansas gave men's basketball coach Bill Self a lifetime contract in 2021 and added to that in 2023. UConn women's head coach Gino Auriemma, now 71, got a 5-year extension through 2029 in June of 2024. Barnes says it's an honor and a blessing to serve as the Tennessee's men's basketball coach. He thanked university officials for their continued belief in the program. Great. So I have to deal with Rick Barnes for the rest of his time as Tennessee's head coach. Great. This makes those games fun.
Why is Tennessee extending a lifetime contract to an underachiever like Rick Barnes?
Ooh, underachiever? Wow.
Yes.
I mean, he's Division I leader in wins.
How many NCAA national championships has he won? The silence proves my answer to the question.
I don't have an answer. Exactly.
How many Final Four trips has he made as head coach?
Well, okay, let's go through. Let me do this then. Barnes is 232 and 109 record in 10 seasons as Tennessee's head coach. That is a 66.4% win percentage here.
Okay, so he's good in regular season.
Includes 112 wins to 67 losses in SEC play. He has won at least 25 games in 6 seasons with 4 Sweet 16 appearances, 4 top 10 finishes, 3 SEC championships, and 2 Elite 8 berths.
Mm-hmm. So as Tennessee, the answer is 0. When he was in University of Texas, that would be 1. So hence why I say underachiever. Because he has a wonderful personality, he has an aw shucks ability, he has wonderful appeal, because he gets on TV and he sounds so aw shucks-ish, and you root for him because you feel as though he has the right to coach young men into being good players and better men, but they don't achieve what they should in a program as prestigious as, well, as big as Tennessee. I won't say it's prestigious because in college basketball, their women's program is much more pedigreed than their men's. But in a program that has as much money as Tennessee does, he's underachieved. I mean, he's gotten them number one rankings on in the regular season. He's gotten them close to the doorstep of being number one seeds in the NCAA tournaments, but he hasn't fulfilled what he should to warrant him having a lifetime contract for a program. With Bill Self, and I'm not the biggest Bill Self fan, I can understand that. Rick Barnes? Really?
Rick Barnes.
Good old nine. Thinking with your brain, Rocky Top. Woo! Rocky Top, Tennessee. Goodness gracious.
And if you want to know why, I'm not really going back at him, because that man down there actually stays in Tennessee.
Yeah, I'm 2.5 hours west of the campus. Yes.
So he knows firsthand.
And plus, Tennessee is one of the biggest rivals of his program, University of Florida.
That's why I said it's going to be fun. Keep going against Tennessee all these years. Speaking from one coach to another coach.
Well, Jay Wright, he wants to come back and feel the past glory that he once achieved. So Jay Wright has decided to step away from being a full-time personality on television after 3 years, and he's going to devote more time to his other position at Villanova. Now, Wright was hired by CBS Sports and TNT Sports as college basketball analyst 3 years ago. He was a game analyst during the regular season before moving to the studio for the NCAA tournament. Now, he said in a statement on social media, quote, "I'm grateful for the incredible experiences and friendships. I look forward to staying connected and collaborating with them on future projects." Close quote. Now, Wright was named a special assistant to the president at Villanova after his retirement. In that role, he is involved with fundraising, advising, and education. All right, so your thoughts on Mr. Wright, who, unlike Barnes, did lead Villanova to national championship prominence. Stepping away from his analyst role to focus more on things Villanova.
Can I ask a question?
And okay, and your question is?
What's the real reason why you going back to Villanova?
I love you. Because that is the question I wanted you to ask. My thought is he's gotten that itch. I think he wants to get back on the sideline. I think he wants to lead a team again. Now, it may not be Villanova, but I just get the feeling it might be another college. But since he is knee deep in Villanova, and obviously he has a whole lot of connections in Philadelphia, that seems to be the move for him. But, I mean, he knows basketball, so I get why he was an analyst. But, I mean, maybe he feels as though Villanova is the way to go for him.
Like I said, this is the same. Once a coach is always a coach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Hall of Fame coach spent 21 seasons in Villanova, where he led the Wildcats, as you said so eloquently earlier, to 2 NCAA national titles. That would be in 2016 and 2018. Along with 2 other appearances in the Final Four. He had an overall record of 642 and 282 at Villanova and Hofstra.
When you said 2018, a lot of people in Ann Arbor just dropped dead crying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know Michigan hates that. Well, I can understand that.
One of the worst national championship beating I have ever seen. Jeez.
Yeah, Villanova at that time, they were the cream of the crop. There's no question about that.
And then when you say 2016, as they are getting ready for a new era in Chapel Hill, they are crying. because Chris Jenkins ripped that heart out.
Last second buzzer beater shot, and that was in Houston. Yeah, and it was a well executed play from a timeout. Well executed. And if I'm not mistaken, I think North Carolina fought feverishly back to tie the game before that play happened. Whew. Yeah. Well, from the NCAA to the EuroLeague, the captain of Germany, that would be Dennis Schröder, he faced racial abuse during his team's 107-88 victory over Lithuania at EuroBasket on Saturday, and one fan was banned from attending the rest of the tournament by FIBA officials. The German Basketball Association said that two people were identified as the alleged perpetrators for the abuse and were subsequently ejected from the arena in Tampere in Finland. Later, FIBA officials said that one fan was identified by video and will not be permitted to attend the rest of the event. Schröder told reporters in German after the game, quote, "making monkey noises, that's something I don't respect. No matter what is, no matter what status, insults, that's all fine. But racism simply does not belong in the sport. That's something that's not okay." Close quote. Schröder, who is black, obviously, heard the noises while walking to the locker room at halftime. Germany interim head coach Alan Ibramaschik had this to say about the incident. Quote, "I noticed that Dennis was very upset, and rightly so. Such things have no place in sports or competition. We hope this will calm down and can be resolved somehow." Close quote. Now, for those who don't know who Schröder is, he plays for the Kings now, and he scored a game-high 26 to lead reigning World Cup champion Germany to a third win in as many group games this year. The Germans are now assured of reaching the round of 16 in Latvia, regardless of what happens in their final two groups in Tampere. Your thoughts on Schröder receiving racial epithets and threats?
Are we starting to realize that racism is not only in the United States, it's actually all over the world now, huh?
And in many cases, worse.
And you know, the funny thing is, when, if I remember correctly, about 5 years ago, shall I say, give or take, mm-hmm. a certain country won the FIBA World Cup. What country was that? Mm-hmm. Germany! Mm-hmm. Oh, and who led the way for them to winning that FIBA World Cup?
It'd be the same Dennis Schröder. Yeah.
Oh, I think you were with me around that time, too, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yes, I was. Yeah, it's horrible. It's horrible that people think still to this day, here we are 4 months from 2026, and people think that racism is still this boogeyman that doesn't exist. And when people say it does and there's proof, then they still want to sweep it under the rug and say it doesn't exist. Maddening and disappointing.
Oh, and by the way, NCAA, take notes. You see what the FIBA did? Take some notes. That's how you handle business.
And to further prove what you're saying, FIBA released this statement saying, quote, "FIBA unequivocally condemns hate speech, discriminatory conduct, and racist language in any form. Creating an inclusive, respectful, and safe environment for players, teams, and fans remains a fundamental priority of our sport. FIBA has provided the relevant footage and information to local law enforcement authorities who are continuing to investigate the matter." Close quote. Now, greedy NCAA, that is how you confront harassment, racism, and the like. Dummies. From idiots who don't know how to conduct themselves to a wonderful player such as Dennis Schroeder, to another around his age that actually is calling it quits. Jeremy Lin, who took the NBA by storm back in 2012 during a stretch of games for the New York Knicks that was dubbed Lin Sanity, has announced his retirement for professional basketball. Lin most recently has been playing professionally in Taiwan, and he made the announcement via Instagram Saturday. And the announcement reads, quote, "As athletes, we are always aware that the possibility of retirement is never far away. I've spent my 15-year career knowing that one day I would have to walk away, and yet actually saying goodbye to basketball today has been the hardest decision I've ever made. It's been the honor of a lifetime to compete against the fiercest competitors under the brightest lights and to challenge what the world thought was possible for someone who looks like me. I've lived up my wildest childhood dreams to play in front of fans all around the world. I will forever be the kid who felt fully alive every time I touched a basketball." Close quote. Now, one of the highlights of Lin's sanity, during which Lin scored at least 20 points in 9 of 10 games, was a 38.7 assist effort in a win over the Lakers as he outscored Bean or the Black Mamba or Kobe Bryant, who had 34 in that game. Lin averaged 14.6 points and 6.2 assists in 35 games that season for the team in Gotham. Your thoughts on Jeremy Lin calling it quits?
I remember that guy during the year so freaking well. Who's this guy to know what is out here that's dropping buckets left and right? And you talking about a time then that was supposed to have been Carmelo Anthony's team.
Yes, it was.
And then you bring in Jeremy Lin and he goes ballistic. And then you can hear everybody. It's like basketball is right. When the New York Knicks are playing great basketball, basketball is right. The Mecca, the Garden is rocking because Jeremy Lin.
I had to say it like that.
You know why I had to say it like that. Look what team we're talking about.
I know. And I've given Wise Alefe, the guy who runs Real Wise Radio, I've given him my ace. I've given him a lot of crap about that. But it is true. NBA basketball actually is better when the Knicks are good. That is true.
What's up, man? Jeremy. Oh, by the way, he's leaving out as a champion.
Yes, he is.
Much respect to you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
He's leaving out as a champion. I have no problems. Hey, that man said I don't want two titles back to back. I'm gonna go ahead and hang these sneakers up and call it a career.
Good for him. I am happy for that, and I'm happy for him. Now, he also said in that in his retirement post on Instagram, quote, "So many people have sacrificed and poured into my journey more than I ever could repay. Thank you all for believing in me, for walking with me, for celebrating my highs and picking me up in my lows. This is a ride I never wanted to end, but I know it's time. I'll forever miss playing basketball in front of you all, but our time will go beyond just playing. Here's to what's ahead. Love you all. Heart emoji." Close quote. And I'm sure I speak for Playmaker when I say, Jeremy, I hope retirement treats you better than the NBA and your professional basketball career did. And you gave us some really good highlights in it. And for those who don't know, he played for many teams. The Knicks, the Warriors, the Rockets, the Lakers, the Hornets, the Nets, the Hawks, and the Raptors, who he won an NBA championship with in 2019. And then... there's this for the Nassis Antetokounmpo, who missed all of last season with a torn Achilles tendon. He has re-signed with the Bucks, the team announced Sunday, meaning he will remain a teammate of his brother, of course, two-time MVP Giannis. The Nassis's one-year deal is for almost $3 million, ESPN source told Shams Charania.
Shams Charania,
because there's no R. Shams Charania. I can't believe they're paying him three. Sorry. Wusa, the 33-year-old, last play for the Bucks during the season before the 2024 season, seeing minimal action in 34 games off the bench and averaging less than a point per game. After being with the team since 2019, he was off the Bucks roster last season while dealing with his injury. Goodness gracious.
But if I don't even read, let's go ahead and go into your soliloquy because I can feel it coming out of you.
Giannis has played all 12 of his NBA seasons with Milwaukee, and he averaged 30 points, almost 12 rebounds, and 6.5 assists per game, and he did that last season. Before I do conclude this, your thoughts on the Nassus?
Go ahead, because I knew I kind of figured you wanted this one for yourself. So go ahead, have your fun.
Well, the 33-year-old has a career an impressive career average of 2.4 points, 1.6 rebounds, and 7.7 minutes in 198 regular season games. Now, the Nassus's re-signing comes after the Bucks and Giannis's representatives, Georgios Panyiotis and Alex Tsouratsis, were expected to sit down during the offseason and discuss future plans. That's what Charania was told back in May. He currently is playing with the Greek national team at Eurobasket. I am so glad that you are paying. So how can I put this? I'm going to be polite. I am so glad, Milwaukee, that you are paying for those who were in boxing, those who are boxing historians. Muhammad Ali, one of the greatest figures in sports history. He had a guy who was a corner guy, but he wasn't the main corner guy. That was Angelo Dundee. He was a guy that hyped him up, you know, Bundini Brown, where in press conferences, he would basically run a shtick with him, you know. You know, rumble, young man, rumble. Ah, you know, he would, you know, man can't hear what a man can't see. You know, he would be basically the hype man to the main event. I'm so glad that the Flavor Flav, the Too Big MC, and for those who don't know Too Big MC, he was the hype man for MC Hammer. What's another one? The Professor X. Who's another hype man? Oh, the Jerome to Morris Day with the time. I'm glad that the hype man is getting the love that they deserve because they actually have a role, and that role is to show and prove that they can do absolutely positively Nathan and get handsomely paid for it. So, the Nassus, congratulations. I'm glad that your brother is your meal ticket because you have proven to do absolutely positively nothing with your NBA career except basically compete with Joel Embiid for being the best person to ever sit on a sideline. Okay, that's it. That's all for Ron Harwood. Goodness gracious. They paying this man $3 million to sit. $3 million to sit on the bench. To grab pine. $3 million.
Like I said earlier, I had a feeling that's the reason why he just went ahead and said, I just do the bottom four. I ain't even say nothing. I knew you had something. I know. He saw the Nassus sign where he signed with the Bucks. He's like, I want. You know what? Okay, I take them four. Just give me the Nassus. That's what I want.
I'm, I was trying to be professional. I was trying to be composed. And I was like, wait, let me give Playmaker the room to respond to this, because I know he has some things to say. It would be belligerent of me if I would just run through the article and just trash the Nasus.
I just felt the energy from them. Like, oh yeah, so this is the one he been waiting for. This is the one. Okay.
I'm like, oh my gosh. The Bucks are actually wasting a roster space and re-signing this guy?
Yep.
I'm like, goodness gracious. Okay, fine. 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 I'll just accept the lunacy for what it is.
Oh, man. Commercial break here. When we come back, we'll dive into the
$3 million to sit on the doggone bench. Well, Philly, you should take notes, because you're paying what, 15 times more for another guy to sit on the bench?
Everything Boston. I love you, you morons. You kids from the block, New Edition.
Dear whatever the law firm is. Sincerely, the U.S. Supreme Court.
Ben Affleck, Matt Damon. Go f*** yourself again, Jason.
Join the transporter to Hades.
Your butt and gut becomes one.
Join the reformer of hooker whores.
This is my daughter, Placenta Booty Johnson.
Join the bronze car.
Whenever you are in distress, mm-hmm. Take off your baseball cap and throw it in the air.
Join your very own superhero of broadcasting, Chris Bass.
So whatever color of crayon they get, they palm it and do two circles, and that translates to... I could be the black people.
As she takes you through the week's paces in Baseline. Live every Saturday at 8 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Central. No, Pacific Time Zone people, just stay asleep when this is on live and just catch the recording. Oh, I'm sorry. Exclusively on the Chris Bass YouTube channel.
Get Mouse Entertainment with Paramount Plus. Stream new movies such as Mean Girls, Transformers Rise of the Beast, and Good Burger 2 with Paramount Plus. Stream live sports such as the UEFA Champions League, the NFL on CBS, the PGA Tour, and March Madness. Catch hit CBS shows such as Fire Country, Ghost, NCIS, and more. But also catch exclusive originals for Paramount Plus, such as Special Ops Lioness, The Famous Stallones, the new streaming home of Showtime. Watch Showtime original series and movies when you sign up with Paramount Plus with Showtime. Make it a fun, action-packed adventure for the whole family, and create kid-friendly profiles for the little ones. So much to stream with Paramount Plus, with over 45,000 full episodes from BET, CBS, Comedy Central, MTV, Nickelodeon, and more. Paramount Plus, Mount of Entertainment.
This is a BS3 Network presentation.
Do a TED talk, but I don't have anything to talk about yet. I'm getting there.
Life is for the living. We're not here that long.
You can learn anything you want to learn without any money spent.
What do I really enjoy? What do I really want out of life?
I am your host, WIZE.
Are you in a life holding pattern? Well, this is for you. Welcome to the Stuck in My Mind podcast, live every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 4 p.m. Central.
And welcome back to Stream the Lights Out on this Labor Day, September 1st, 2025. Thank y'all for tuning in. If you're watching on the YouTube channel, go ahead and hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell, so that anytime we go live, anytime we post anything, you'll be notified and you can interact with us. Please comment down below for anything you got to say about the WNBA. We'll get to those as we go through the WNBA roster. But speaking of women's sports,
it's so good that we can pay a man $3 million. To do nothing but sit on the bench. I'm sorry. My bad. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm sorry.
I just,
yeah, that still pisses me off. I'm sorry.
Speaking of women's sports, if you want to doge me for a moment.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, man. Go ahead.
Shout out to Naomi Osaka dominating Coco Golf today.
Yeah, straight sets. Oof. Wow. So that went, I guess this might be the return of Naomi Osaka.
6-3, 6-2.
And beating Coco is not an easy feat. I mean, she was ranked number 3 in the tournament. Wow.
She's number 3 in the world.
Well, I know she's number 3 in the world, but I'm just dealing with the tournament itself.
Dominating. She'll be meeting Caroline Mokotra of the Czech Republic in the quarterfinals. Shout out to the ladies over on the tennis side for the U.S. Open. But now, let's get to the basketball ladies, shall we? Because spots are starting to fill up for the postseason, and people are starting to get eliminated. So we go back to the weekend that was in the WNBA, and we go to Saturday.
You suck things.
As the Minnesota Lynx do what they normally do to bottom feeding teams, and that is
destroy them.
94-70 of the Kinetic Sun. Their 31st win of the season. And with that 31st win of the season, Coach Johnson, what's that bottom line say?
It says that the Lynx, with that 31st win of the season, they clinch home court advantage throughout the playoffs, including the WNBA Finals, along with the overall number one seed.
The road to the WNBA championship runs through Minneapolis.
Yeah, the Twin Cities will be where you have to go and defeat the big dogs for real.
Elena Smith with 18 points. Dejanay Carrington, 18 points. I feel like somebody said something about a month ago, maybe 2 months ago, that somebody grabbing Dejanay Carrington just makes things a lot more difficult now.
You sound happier that she's with the Lynx now. I noticed that. You sound happier. Why? Why did you now sound happier than when you did say this last month?
If I steal a page from the Cool McCain playbook.
Please do, sir.
Anytime I can see Dejanay Carrington, doesn't bother me one bit.
But you were on these airwaves, sir, royally upset when she was newly minted a Lynx.
See, that was me being a New York Liberty fan. This is me being a fan of Dejanay Carrington.
Well, you were still a fan of Dejanay Carrington even then.
No, that was me being a New York Liberty fan. Mm-hmm. Fully New York Liberty fan. Because the best team got one of the top defensive players is like, yo, y'all already number one. Why is y'all making this even more difficult?
This is how you're supposed to do it. If you want to knock out the champs, you got to do everything you can to do so. Stack the artillery as deep as you possibly can. Smart move by getting a good defensive player to do so.
But me seeing Dejanay Carrington on my TV is a pleasant sight. Matter of fact, I messed around and followed her on Instagram, which probably was not good for my health.
So what you're saying is you go Clarence Carter when you see Dejanay on your screen?
Not fully Cool McCain.
Okay.
No, I'm not. I
just wanted to know if it was
strictly, I don't go that far.
If it was strictly basketball skill or if she is aesthetically pleasing to you.
Oh, she's definitely pleasing to look at.
Oh, no, I'm not denying that. She is easy on the eyes. I was saying if she was so easy on the eyes that you would go into stick shift mode.
No. Now, Instagram, probably is why I don't go on Instagram that much. Because I know I'm going to see something today. I'm like, can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
In a good way, not in a bad way.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I got to stop following these people on Instagram.
Oh, gosh.
Not good for my health. I just need to stop. Cool ain't going to stop.
I was going to say, you're starting to sound like this is Trace being into Cool McCain with the Sparks territory the way you're saying this.
See, I watch the game and pay attention to what's going on and analyze the game.
Well,
now outside of it on social media, that's a whole different story.
And so does Cool. So for those who think, well, Cool only watches because, well, it's women on the court only and doesn't really care about the product.
No, this we're cool. This only applies to the LA Sparks.
I know. It only applies to the LA Sparks. I get that.
When it comes to the Dream, he is all business.
No, I get that too. But I'm just explaining to our listeners and viewers.
Yeah, I just put it in a simple term. Mm-hmm. In short terms.
Yeah. So I was just making sure that it wasn't that when you watch Dejanay Carrington, lube is not involved.
No.
Okay, good.
No.
So basically, ladies and gentlemen, Playmaker is saying that this is strictly professional and what she provides on the court. I'm glad to see that.
Yes, that's why that was mad that month ago.
As understood. But I'll go back to what I said. The links did what they're supposed to do. You see a play that's available, and you want to knock out the chance because you want to be where they are. So you do everything possible to get that and go there.
Oh, and by the way, if anybody's asking, that leading MVP, Nafisha Collier, 17-9 with 3 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks.
So she's showing the full game. Okay. In one where she didn't even have to flex her muscle. Yeah.
The Valkyries.
Poor Mystics. Goodness gracious.
The Valkyries, 99-62. Win over the Washington Mystics. And what did that loss do to the Mystics?
It eliminated them from the playoffs. I'm so sorry, Mystics. But you actually can say this was a good year for you guys. I mean, no one thought you would even come close to contending. And you were in the rebuild mode, and you learned that you actually have some good pieces. Unfortunately, it started to fizzle in the second half, and this is proof of how it fizzled and how far it fizzled in the second half of the season. But kudos to you for a wonderful season, though.
As I go to the comments, let me say hello to Chicago Cheetah.
Chicago Cheetah says, let's go. It's good to see you, Chicago Cheetah. And nice timing, because he says, says, Valkyries are dangerous. Yes, they are. A first year expansion team, and they are pretty much cementing themselves in the playoffs. That's a very big time feat.
Very. Shout out to the Valkyries, but we're not done with the Valkyries just yet. And I'm not done with Miss Cheetahs or Chicago. I need to find out who Chicago Cheetah is, because whoever you are, you put some stuff in the chat. I'm like, I got to get to these. But I got to get into them at the right time.
Yeah. It looks like to me the Storm have rebounded pretty well.
Is it the Storm rebounded, or is it that nobody on the sky wants to play ball except the Twin Towers?
That bad? Oh well, I mean, it could be that too. But you got to take advantage of, the opponents that you have. I mean, you know, they put on their shorts one leg at a time too. So you gotta play with what's in front of you. And congrats to the Storm for beating down the Sky.
6
players in double figures for the Storm. And it looks like Nneka Ogwumike woke up in the second half. And I'm not talking about this game. I'm talking about the season. Because we're seeing her take the team on her back and say, all right, let's go. And I'm proud of her. I'm proud of her for doing that.
So you telling me that the Storm can have 6 players scoring double figures, and the only people that can score a double figure is Angel Reese? 20-10.
Well, I mean, it shows the Sky. It shows the Sky suck, and it's not Angel Reese's fault that they suck. It's the fact that they don't know who to play around her. And the talent is rather thin. Along
with 9 and 30.
Along with the coaching. Because the coaching is horrible.
9 and 30.
Yes, the sky are 9 and 30. Yes. 9 up and 30 down. 9 wins and 30 losses. Yes, they're horrible. And yes, they have already been eliminated from the playoffs. Same with the Sun.
And then the Nightcap.
The Mercury. And this was a game that the Liberty needed in terms of actually getting further up the standings. And Kalia Coppert said, not today. 80-63 victory over the Mercury. The Liberty hung in the first half, but it was the second half where they basically checked out. Kalia Copper, 22 points on 7 of 15 shooting, 5 of 10 from beyond the arc. Ouch. So it looks like the Brooklyn Liberty are sinking further and further down. And now there is distance between the Mercury and, yes, I know they're called New York Liberty. There's distance between the Mercury and the Liberty. Now there's a game and a half of a distance between the two of them. And this is for fourth place and first round home court. And with four to five games left, it's looking mighty precarious that they're even going to get that seed.
Sunday. Speaking of Kumike.
Yes, he stroked pretty well to an 81-78 victory over the Mystics. Now, the Mystics eliminated themselves, unfortunately, with the game before. They wanted to play spoiler. Unfortunately, they didn't.
He stroked pretty well.
Yes, he stroked pretty well. He got a chance to see the Sparks play well, and he got a chance to see the ones that he loves on the court for most of the 40 minutes. So he probably got to town and did his thing gleefully.
Wow.
Kelsey Plum with 18 points. Derrick Hamby topped it all with 20 points and 12 boards. The Mystics, they sink further down. Unfortunately, the Sparks.
Hey, stop right there. Stop right there.
They're looking as though.
Don't go too far. I get that. I have that slide.
I know. But I'll say it this way. For Cool to have more happy endings, the Sparks need to pick it up. So that was well done, wasn't it?
And then. The Valkyries continue to surge ahead. And Snowman might be on life support right about now.
Maybe not. But unfortunately, for the Fever, they don't have a fever for the flavor of a Pringle. They have a fever for the flavor of Caitlin with a 75-63. Ow! They took it the Yay area. Ileana Roper, she led all scorers with 21 points, 5 of 8 from 3, on 8 of 12 shooting overall. The Valkyries really cleaned up this weekend. They really did.
They put in work. And the standings of the WNBA, as you see those in the blue box, already in. They solidified their spots. They're in. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what seed they get outside of Minnesota, who had pretty much clinched everything.
Yeah, no one can touch the number one seed. So it's now a battle for the number two seed, as we can see, with a half a game separating the Aces, the Dream, and the Mercury.
The defending champs are 2 games out from that spot.
Well, no. Well, yeah, 2 games out from the number two spot, but they're a game and a half from the number three. So things are looking up for the Liberty. Now all they need. What?
Let's go ahead and drop down to the sixth seed.
All the Liberty needs to do is they change the name from New York to Brooklyn, and their success might be better and might be more solidified.
No, let's go ahead and drop down to the sixth seed. Go ahead, drop down to the sixth seed. You play Atlanta in the first round. If you get past them, you'll meet Las Vegas in the semifinals. And if you get past them, you get back to Minnesota.
Why are you promoting tanking, playmaker?
Why? They already doing it. I ain't promoting nothing.
Yes, you are. You're saying have the Liberty go down to the number six seed, and they are 2.5 games up from it. So
guess
basically,
what?
you want them to be more worried
about being healthy than winning games. So go ahead and drop down to the sixth seed.
You want them to pull the plug, drop all the way to the sixth seed so they can play the dream. Hopefully they win, and then they probably face off against the Aces in the next round.
Based on the standings right now, it'll be the dream. But by the time the season over, I don't even think these three will be in the same position.
Probably not. But if the season were to end today, provided if the Liberty dropped to the number six seed,
it'll be the Atlanta Dream. Sorry,
they'll play the Dream the first round, and then
I'm sorry, cool, but since my team is more worried about health than wins, go ahead and drop down to the sixth seed. So where's Sabrina? Where's Sabali? Matter of fact, don't even play Breonna Stewart 27 minutes like you did against Free, because they didn't even matter.
Playmaker is promoting the Liberty to tank. Why?
Is you not the person that said they just need to get in? Don't you worry about seeding? And then that come from your mouth, right?
Yes, it did. But I'm
all right then.
But I am not talking about tanking. My thought was, get in a groove, get in a mode where you can find your rhythm, because every team, no matter what year it is, no matter how talented they are, you have to find a rhythm of some sort. So you find the rhythm, you get locked in, and then you play the best you can, in this case, until you get to mid-September. And then when you get there, fine. All bets are off, and you're in, and you get a chance to play the way you should. No, I didn't say it from the standpoint of, well, the Liberty could be the eighth seed for all that matters, and they can be in, and that's all they care about. I wasn't saying it from that standpoint. Louis T1, good looking. I'm glad you're here. He says Liberty is trying to avoid the Lynx in round two. Well, if that's the case, then
I believe somebody has been saying that for the longest.
Well, that would be you. That would be the case with Playmaker saying what he just said, that the Liberty should tank, drop down to number six seed, and they would avoid the Lynx until the last round, the final round, when they would play the best of seven. But it doesn't look good.
You are like I'm saying for them to drop down to number eight. I just said to go down to number seven. No.
I didn't say you said that, sir. I said you're claiming that when I was saying it doesn't matter. They just want to get in. I wasn't saying from the standpoint of it doesn't matter if they're even the eighth.
You saying I'm telling them to tank. I'm just saying to go ahead and drop down one spot. I ain't say go already down to eighth.
Well, the problem with that is if they do tank, they can slide all the way out the playoffs. That is what I'm saying.
The Sparks ain't gonna catch us.
No. Well, true. They might not.
There's only one spot. There's only one team that can make it left. And the Spartans is like six whole games behind us.
But, I mean, look, it will take one, I would say one, maybe even two wins, and the Liberty to clinch a playoff spot. So, a playoff berth. So, I mean, your team is fine. Your team is fine. You don't have to concern yourself with the sky is falling. They'll be fine. They'll make it.
I'm just saying, go ahead, drop down to six. Y'all want to play us healthy? Okay, drop down to six. Get them healthy. Whoever the three seed is, we take them first, and then we'll take whoever the second seed after that, and then we'll meet Minnesota in the WNBA finals.
But you'll probably be meeting the Lynx in the WNBA conference finals, which is unfortunate.
And what have I told you ever since you started saying that? They're going to put us in the Las Vegas Aces row last year, and how did that work out?
Yeah, it worked out wonderfully for them because the Aces did not get a chance to repeat again. So I understand that, Playmaker.
And which means they played the team who they beat for the title in the semifinals, and that team got payback.
It looks like it doesn't bode well for your team, though, Playmaker, because it looks like they can get past the Mercury, but it looks like Brooklyn will have to play.
But you want me to be happy and go lucky by being in the same position? No, that the Minnesota Lynx are pissed off at the one team that kept them from winning the title.
I'm not saying to be happy about that. No, I am saying that your team, just by presently constituted and how they've seemed to be coached, they don't care where they are seated. They just want to play. And I think they believe they can still take the Lynx. Even with them being 1-3 against them this year, I know they wholeheartedly believe they can go into the conference finals and beat the Lynx, which I think is the best of five. They really believe that in five games, the Lynx cannot beat the Liberty three of those five games. You interview any of them women in the locker room, I guarantee you that is what they would think.
If they meet the Lynx in the semifinals, yes.
Lewis T1 says, does lack of home court advantage make a difference to the Liberty? Slightly in the first round, immensely so in the conference finals round. Because I don't think it really matters who has home court advantage if the season were to end today and the Mercury have home court against Liberty, I don't think that really matters too much to the Liberty. I think they can, even though, yes, we both are high on the Mercury. We both are high on them because there's some really good young talent and the team is blending around them. But I really believe that the Liberty believes that they are better than the Mercury, whether they have home court advantage or not, whether they play in Brooklyn or they play in Phoenix. It doesn't matter to them with that series.
Hey, you want
to
be honest, based on the regular season, we ain't better than the Mercury.
I understand that. But look, we have NBA understanding and history of teams who have owned one in the regular season, but the script got flipped in the playoffs. We've seen that many a times. So we could see that in the WNBA playoffs too. We can.
Since y'all wanted to just get in, go ahead, drop down to the six. Whoever the three seed is, it is what it is.
We can see that. It is possible. So we'll get a chance to witness that live and in living color, possibly.
And watching this team just get beat to shreds. This ain't going to end well. This is not going to end well.
But I do understand your philosophy and point, and you do have a really good one. The Liberty should make it easy on themselves and be either the third seed, which they still are in range of getting, the third seed or the sixth seed or the seventh seed. I understand that. I do, fully. If they can get one, if they can get the three, the six, or the seven, they'll be fine. But if they are four or five, that could be problematic because I don't think they want to face the Lynx before the WNBA finals.
And you see that team at number eight, Snowman, is on pins and needles.
Well, okay. So here's the deal. The Fever are wanting Caitlin Clark as healthy as they possibly can. They're holding out her being a part of the team as long as they possibly can. Now, will this strategy backfire on them? We shall see. Because they're only two games up from the Sparks.
And guess what? You do not want to have a tie with the LA Sparks. They took two or three from you, which means they have the tiebreaker.
Yeah, so that would mean they have the tiebreaker.
So a tie with them does you no favors.
Yeah, so they have to outright win. They have to outright have a game advantage over them. But forget the Fever. The WNBA, you all want to know why we've been hearing earthquake sounds coming out of Indianapolis?
No, I'll take that back. 3-1.
Oh. If you want to know why we've been hearing earthquake sounds emanating from Indianapolis, is because you have heard the citizenry, the team, the coaching staff, and the executives of the Fever, and the owners as well, hit their knees one by one. They're saying, oh, God, please, please have us make it to the playoffs. And the WNBA offices are hitting their knees just as hard for different reasons. The Fever, they want to have the glory. The WNBA, they want to have the money. And they know Caitlin Clark is the cash cow. And for them to go into the second season and the cash cow cannot play in the playoffs, that would hurt the WNBA's heart. That would hurt them severely.
So this is what makes it even interesting.
More interesting.
The Sparks have the Storm, Wings, Mercury, and Aces left.
The Sparks do. So this last two games are that's a big hurdle. Okay.
That means the Sparks have to pull out some upsets.
Mm-hmm. The last two games are big hurdles for them. Okay.
The Fever had the Sky, the Mystics, and the Lynx.
Well, then, yeah, Snowman isn't on life support. Yeah, Fever got the 8th seed.
They also have a knack of losing games that they're not supposed to be losing, too. So.
Well, that may be true, but I think it's part of it. Part of it, I believe, is because you don't have Caitlin Clark in the lineup.
So, they trying to get in. And if you do get in, you got the number one team waiting on you.
It is like what Chicago Cheetah said. If they do get in, if they stay the 8th seed, the Fever are one and done in the playoffs. And I think I'm with Playmaker. I think Playmaker's with me when I say you're correct. They are.
Caitlin Clark or no Caitlin Clark, Minnesota's putting their foot up y'all asses.
The Lynx, and we have, well, I know I've said it, and Playmaker's been on board with me. The Lynx are scorched earth. They want to get that WNBA championship. They felt as though they should have had it last year. They want to feel as though they are going to have it this year. It would be a cherry on Sunday if they can beat the Liberty en route to it. But they want the WNBA championship again. And they look like the best team in the league.
Now, if you want to have a chance of surviving and get to a semifinals, if you're a Fever fan, you better start winning and hope Seattle start losing.
Yeah, I was about to say, you got to climb to at least the 7th seed.
Or the Valkyries start losing and start looking like an expansion team and not a pro team. But if y'all stay at the 8th spot, 2 games and y'all be gone. Y'all ain't going to make it to a 3rd game. Because y'all stay there, y'all going to go to Minnesota, they're going to put their foot up your ass, and they're going to go to Indiana, and they'll be like, you know what? Y'all putting up a fight, but y'all going to stay here. Y'all not getting back on the plane.
We're going to end this. Yeah, we're going to end this misery right now.
They saying they taking one trip down, and when they take a trip back, they'll be getting ready for this round two. Mm-hmm. They telling Indiana, y'all taking one trip up, y'all taking one trip back, and y'all not coming back. So you might want to get out of the 8th spot. Sparks, y'all just got to get in. And if you do get in, y'all going to get your ass handed to you by Minnesota. Whoever's the appetizer for the Minnesota Lynx, you're done in 2 games.
More than likely, we're going to be seeing the sweep.
You're done in 2 games. I'm sorry. I'm speaking facts here. I just feel like whoever that first round is, y'all done in 2 games. They're going to beat you down at home and in Minnesota, and then they're going to come whoever they need to come to, and they might survive that one because it's that team that's trying to do everything they can. But when it comes down to it, Nafisa Collier, Kelly McBride, Elena Smith, Dejanay Carrington, Courtney Williams, it's just too much.
Yeah, they're a squad you cannot deny. You can't deny them. You just can't. You can't deny them.
Instead of doing a commercial break here, I'm just going to say this. In less than an hour and a half, Monitor Wrestling, myself and Cool McCain, recap the final premium live events.
on Peacock.
Let me correct that. Main PLE.
PLE. Yeah.
On Peacock, Clash in Paris. Yeah, I might talk about what happened on Raw today since it came on that too. I don't know how I feel. It wasn't really interesting a week in wrestling for me.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see what happens when I talk to Kuma King. But now, as we get out of here, upcoming games tonight. Three games on the docket. One already took place, which is the Dream and Sun, which let me find out the final score of that game was.
The Dream and Sun.
I don't know why they played that one like somebody cared, but
the Dream beat the Sun Dan.
93-76 win. Ryan Howard, 23 points. Ooh. Cool is very happy to hear that name.
Mm-hmm.
That's the name he's waiting on.
Ryan Howard, 23. Naz Hillman with 17. Alicia Gray with also 17. And 15 off the bench from Maya Caldwell. Jordan Canada. For the losing son, unfortunately, Tina Charles. Wonderful effort with 22. 17 for Layla Lacan, 12 for Marina Mabry, and 10 off the bench for one Sanaya Rivers.
And then Cole Johnson get throw a party at 8 o'clock tonight.
Yes. The Wings will have their 32nd loss. Yes. Yes. The Lynx are gonna beat them down. I love it.
8 p.m. NBA TV.
WNBA, you need your butts whooped. Why are you not having ESPN cover this? Dummies.
You really asked that dumb question.
No, I'm asking that dumb question so it could be put on their forefront on their minds. How stupid it is to not have ESPN televised the WNBA for a full solid month.
Okay. That I agree with. But the fact that you asked that specific question in that fashion was like, are you serious right now? We already know it was 8 o'clock.
No. It was a rhetorical question. You know it.
So you already know it was 8 o'clock.
Yes. Yes, I know. College football game.
Don't you even say it either.
What did I say?
I said, don't you even say it.
All I said, it was a college football game. That's all I said.
Yeah, we're going to leave it just like that.
Why? Why are we leaving it just like that?
Because we're going to leave it just like that. You're going to do it Wednesday. I already know it. I want to save it for Wednesday. Knowing you.
What do you mean knowing me?
We're going to save that for Wednesday.
Knowing me
and which I have to recap that game because of the first one. Jeez,
knowing me, what do you mean knowing me?
You know what made it so bad? These even anchors on SportsCenter that are saying it. I'm like,
he said knowing me. Wow.
And you know what made it so bad that even people on ESPN ain't gonna give me no credit for, because I'm the one who said it.
Mm-hmm.
We even got people on SportsCenter saying, I can't get away from it.
Oh, but it's so beautiful. I love it.
Shut up. Don't you do it. If y'all want to know what's been taking over, just tune in to Bearing Down the Grid on Wednesday around the same time. Because we'll be recapping that game, because they have no choice, like the first game for freaking Bill Belichick at North Carolina. Lord. Amongst other things. And then, woo! The Sparks got a They got a tough one in the Pacific Northwest.
Yes, they do. They have to hold off the storm, and they have to climb up, and hopefully they can. The storm wants to hold on to their spot, and if they can improve beyond where they are. And ooh,
somebody's not going to be happy at the end of this one.
That might be a tough, yeah, that might be a tough, tough tall order and task for the Sparks.
Somebody's not going to be happy at the end of this game.
No, no, they won't.
And that was Labor Day tonight. Tomorrow!
Mm. Now, the question will be, can the Liberty actually stave off dropping to the number six seed?
By the team that's currently number six.
And nobody's televising it.
Nope.
I'm sorry.
No, because you know what? Look what it looks like. Also, is at 10 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
It's on a Tuesday. Why is both games on?
But NBA TV is televising that one, though. The Fever and the Mercury. They're televising that game.
Y'all want to, so ESPN, y'all want to show all the playoff games, but you're going to have, but.
The disappearance of the playmaker is partially brought to you by ESPN's lack of brain power. When you actually sign a contract for a league that you claim actually has the ability to rake in fans and eyeballs, you should for sure televise things so that they can watch it. Especially when you have a game that actually is a little bit more important in the playoff standings with the Liberty and Valkyries versus the Fever and the Mercury. ESPN, you have no brain matter. WNBA, you're worse. It's ridiculous how they are. Both the Liberty and Valkyries and the Fever and Mercury
are
tipping off at 10 p.m. Eastern.
How are you going to talk about people are going to watch our games when you got them both slated at 10 p.m.?
Well, think about it this way. They're both, technically, since Phoenix is in the Pacific time zone for the summer, both of them start at 7 p.m. local time.
You can move the Fever and the Mercury up to 5.
Maybe not on Tuesday, but I understand. If this was Monday, I get your point. Or the weekend, I get your point. But since it's a day of the week, and not only the day of the week, a day of the week where, well, the traditional end of summer starts tomorrow, it's going to be a little bit more difficult to move up times, local times, for these games.
Oh no! If y'all banking on people being Indiana Fever fan, y'all can put it at whatever time you want to put it on. They're going to find a way to get to it.
True. But although this would suck for them, I mean, it's 10 in Indianapolis when this game is going to tip off tomorrow night. Such is the problem of having four time zones.
And then Wednesday,
you have the Dream hosting the Sparks. So you're going to have Cool having his heart go against his joystick. Tip off of that is 7:30 p.m. Eastern. That will be in the A. And then the Sky. The moribund, horrible Sky. They will play the Sun in the Crap Bowl. Tip off is there at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. local time. They'll be in Chicago. And people could give two craps about that game. Even Chicago.
Yeah, they're too busy hoping they can slob on Ben Johnson's joystick.
Why him and not Caleb Williams?
See, they had the first year with Caleb Williams, it didn't go well. So they're hoping Ben Johnson is the answer.
The head coach of the team. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
He came from Detroit with that high power offense, so they're hoping that he brings that to Chicago.
I get that. I understand that.
He's the new shiny toy.
Right. It's just, I don't see it. But, hey, he might prove us all wrong.
And they get to play on Monday Night Football.
I'm excited for them.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're sharing my excitement.
It has something in my head, and I just lost my train of thought.
What was it based on?
Crap.
What was it based on? What did you want to say?
It was about the WNBA, I forget.
Okay.
But I had no fun football in it, so we
okay. All right. Well, we're what? Four games in a week. A week and a half.
We're down to the last 4 to 5 games, depending on your record.
So we're now in the last week and a half of the season.
Yep, in 10 days.
And so the playoffs will be 2 weeks from now. So, okay. Your quick thoughts on how the 2025 WNBA season, year number 29, has gone.
I'll say that before the playoffs.
Okay.
All right. I want everything finalized, which is should be finalized September 11th. What day is that?
That would be a Thursday.
That would be a Thursday. So, and the playoff starts on the 14th, which will be.
That'll be a Sunday.
So that means we'll be coming in
2 weeks from now, talking about playoff games. Yes.
Yes. All right, that works for me. Mm-hmm. That works.
Well, I will say this. The WNBA season is a roaring success because the Dallas Wings are the worst team in the league.
As of right now.
Don't spoil it.
I'm just saying, as of right now.
They're the worst team in the league. And I want them to stay the worst team in the league.
Because that Marlon Bunt team in Chicago don't have any brain cells.
No, they don't. But all would be right with the world.
But why would you want Dallas to be last and they get the first pick of the draft? I don't think you want that. That would make them even better.
Well, I mean, they had the first pick this past year, and you saw how wonderful they played.
They was picking and choosing when they wanted to play Paige Beckers, okay?
That's what I'm saying. They had the number one overall last year.
They're being strategic here, unlike somebody else in Dallas that I know.
No, he's being strategic too. The only problem is, how can I put this?
His strategic ways don't make sense.
Let me put it this way. Jarrell suffers from, dementia. And we have a guy who'll be 83. In 6 weeks, and he is more concerned about making sure that the team rakes in the dough and is entertaining than they are having championship aspirations. You even have longtime fans such as Denzel Washington say this, that Jerry is not concerned about winning. Jarrell never been concerned about winning. He's always been concerned about making money, which he is the greatest businessman in the history of professional sports. I will go on record as saying that. But the Wings, in fact, Wings brass, please take notes from Jarrell and do the same thing that he's doing. Please.
Why is you in the business of destroying and making price right now?
The Queen of Hoops herself said, I don't follow the Wings, I follow the Valkyries. She even said that. She said, look, the team that I follow is so bad, I don't even want to follow them. I don't even want to deal with them. And I'm not making Megan upset or sad, but just it's just the matter of fact. The Wings suck because they play in Dallas.
The day's gonna come, and you're gonna be mad at almost every show because Dallas is playing good basketball. It's gonna come. It's gonna come.
What sucked for me was when I got a chance to witness the Rangers win the World Series, not this past year, but the year before. And I thought the Astros could knock them out in the ALCS, and they didn't. And I got a chance to hear the...
That wasn't the worst thing that you saw.
No. It was from the standpoint of I got a chance to hear from my friends in Dallas rub it in my face.
See, here's the thing.
They rubbed it in my face, playmaker. How
when it comes, when it comes to baseball, he doesn't worry about baseball because nobody has a baseball show for him to be on.
Well, that's true. But still, my friends from Dallas rubbed it in my face. Even people who didn't follow the Rangers rubbed it in my face.
Now, if the Mavs or the Wings do start doing good.
That would be problematic because, unfortunately, we talk about those two teams on this network, on this program.
He gonna hate Mondays.
Yeah.
He would hate Mondays. Like, I really look, don't want it.
But look, I'm proud, to show how magnanimous I am proud of Klay Thompson.
I know you go with this.
I am proud of him. Who knew that he could bag Megan Thee Stallion? I am absolutely over the moon proud of him. He's actually showing personality, and I am proud of him. Kudos to you, Klay. You actually are showing more prowess off the court than you do on it now. I'm so happy for you. Congratulations. And I hope Megan makes you very happy. And I actually am serious when I say this. I hope she makes you happy. Because, dude, you need to have that happiness. You need to have that happiness. Because Lord knows, you ain't getting it on the court.
Not getting it on the court.
Am I wrong? I just gave a Dallas athlete props with no shade. I gave it props.
He ain't getting no happies on the court, no shade.
What's the truth? It's the absolute truth.
Without no shade. He not getting any happiness on the court. Jeez.
But it's the truth.
The man not even been there, what, a year? Can he get settled in first?
Well, he's getting settled in.
Shut up. That ain't what I'm talking about.
I mean, he's getting settled in because he's sampling that big old treat every day.
Hey, it's Stallion, not a tree.
No, I said treat.
No, treat. I don't even call it a tree. It's a Stallion.
I know, but one of her songs, Big Old Treat. So he's sampling it. I'm happy for him.
As long as y'all don't turn into Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, and I mean in the public eye, I'm good.
I don't think that's going to happen.
As long as it's not that in the public eye, I'm good.
That, she would have, Megan would have to be, she would have to be like Beyonce or Rihanna, where she's selling that much money. And she's making
no,
that.
No, what I meant by that, if she pops up at courtside, I don't have every single freaking camera pointing that direction.
That's the way. That's what I'm saying. That's the way it would happen.
They don't even do that when Beyonce's at courtside. I'd be like, oh, Beyonce though. Why? I didn't even know that. Okay. Well, you don't even be knowing Beyonce be at courtside.
Well, she's a little different. I think she tries not to seek that attention. Which,
hey, Rihanna either. Rihanna. Oh, Rihanna.
And kudos to her. Hey. Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know about that. Before A$AP Rocky punished that juice box, she was fiending for LeBron every single finals. I'm like, Lord have mercy. Really? You that thirsty, girl? Really? Thirsty. You that thirsty.
Okay. And by the way, I'm not blaming Taylor Swift at all, because Taylor Swift is not telling y'all to put 50,000 cameras on her doing football games.
No. But here's the idiocy, though. You have dummies who actually claim that that's her fault. I'm like, she's not inviting the cameras. It's that these networks know. You get that much attention on her, you got a fan base that will drool all over whatever Taylor Swift does. Taylor Swift could drop a turd in the middle of the street. You film it, and you'll have people who want to watch her drop the turd.
What happened for Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, though?
I'm happy for them, too. But that's the ridiculousness that you have. You have the media understanding that you have so many people who love her and so many people who want to rail against her. So when you have that much attention, you're gonna get that many cameras.
You know, the funny thing is, the people that's railing against her is the people that just want to watch football. Just let me watch football, please. That's all. That's all we ask for. Just let us watch football. If Travis Kelce dropped the touchdown pass, we don't need to see Taylor Swift's facial expression.
Yeah. Oh, Megan, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean big old treat. I mean big old freak. So Clay, you bagged your big old freak. Enjoy it. Because
you've done good. You've done great. But you can't stop here. You can't stop now. You got to keep going. Through all your trials and your tribulations, you got to keep pushing. Now, finish your campaign.
Yeah, got to get it out the mud. That's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? That's the only way to go, gotta get it out the mud. Gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go, let's go.
Thank you for tuning in today's episode. If you want to follow the podcast, you can follow it on all streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and a whole lot more. This has been Shooting the Lights Out.
Masterpiece.